This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely. Positively. FedEx.
Airbnb.
It's wedding season.
Yes, it is. What's going on, baby?
Alex and I just got invited to a beautiful venue for the wedding of a childhood buddy of mine.
Lovely. Can't wait to hear about
it. We got babysitters. We're all set to go.
And the first thing that you did, Jack?
Book a hotel for the wedding.
Okay. Second thing that you did?
List my place as available that weekend on Airbnb.
Millions of people host on Airbnb, but millions more have never even thought about hosting.
Here's the thing. We've said it's great to make money while you sleep. Actually, Warren Buffett said that.
Well, when you're an Airbnb host, you make money while you sleep and while someone else sleeps.
That's why anytime I'm traveling, I immediately jump into Airbnb and set my house as available. It's that easy.
So Yetis, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode is sponsored by Audible, the home of storytelling.
Protect her.
That's from the opening chapter of The Last Thing He Told Me.
Or is it protect her?
It's protect her.
Yeah, it's like that.
It's a thrilling mystery my wife and I listened to on Audible.
It actually got adapted into a TV show, but it was way more riveting as an audiobook, wasn't it, man?
It's about a tech executive who disappears when his company gets indicted on accounting fraud.
But he disappeared to protect her. And honestly, we shouldn't say anymore. Let's stop
there. Listen to the whole audiobook on Audible while driving in the car on road trips.
And you should too. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog.
New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/tboy or text tboy to 500-500.
That's audible.com/tboy or text tboy to 500-500.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. Welcome back. It is Tuesday, T-Boy Tuesday, January 12th.
So, Nick, you know we got a baby coming. We're in the third trimester now.
Third and final story. I hear you.
He's a baby boy, by the way. Did
it's
you see?
It's true. You got an X and you got a Y chromosome. That's the takeaway.
And we just did an ultrasound, and guess what? The baby looks good.
Jack, I'm looking at this ultrasound. It looks like a microphone. There looks like there's a microphone in that thing.
It does look like the baby's holding a microphone, but his head, 82nd percentile. That's something to be proud of.
His head kind of looks like a giant microphone. This also happens to be, is this our best Snacks Daily yet?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
First story, Jack, what do we got?
George Lucas headline for you, the non-return of the return.
Yeah, e-commerce just decided, doesn't want you to send anything back.
Keep it.
Keep it. You know what? Just keep it. We don't want it.
For our second story, Quibi, it feels like just yesterday that we lost you. We barely knew you. For $100 million, Quibi just got reincarnated as the Roku channel. For our third and final story, Cardtronics is the largest system of ATMs on Earth.
Honestly, its greatest enemy, now its short-term greatest friend.
Honestly, I haven't visited an ATM in months.
Haven't touched my wallet in months.
But Snackers, before we hit those three great stories, Nick and I noticed there's kind of a crime that's been eradicated in this world.
Yeah, here's the thing. You can't eat dessert with your dog. Sad truth.
Every dog owner knows that after dinner, the next dessert, hot fudge is good for Sundays.
Yes, it is.
Bad for puppies.
But Ben and Jerry have decided to vindicate this by launching a doggy dessert. Poor use of the word vindicate.
Only two flavors so far. I love the use of vindication. Ponch's Mix is the first one, which is a combo of dog-friendly ice cream with peanut butter and pretzel.
They named this after a Frenchie in their office who sounds like he's kind of keto.
We hope these two flavors doubles to like 15 soon, but we know why this is going down right now.
Yeah, it's a cute idea, but the reason why they're probably doing this, Ben and Jerry have been watching Chewy stock triple over the last year.
Even pets are adopting pets these days.
Yeah, you probably heard River's birthday coming up tomorrow. They're aware of it.
True, our very own Profit Puppy is turning one tomorrow.
Now, you already feed Fido some grass-fed, free-range, organic unicorn tenderloin. We know you do that.
Trick question. I think all parts of a unicorn are technically tenderloin.
So why not splurge to make Fido's dinner a full three-course meal, Jack?
With Ben and Jerry's doggy dessert, if you live stream that or put it on Zoom, that is good, clean family fun for the whole family.
Casper mattresses, they expanded to dog beds.
Ben and Jerry's just expanded to doggy desserts.
When's the first dog-friendly juice cleanse happening? Who's going to make that happen first?
Snackers, the humanization of pets just hit a new all-time record high.
Let's hit our three stories.
You're tuned in to Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we got to get something legal out the way. Yeah, yeah. The snacks you're about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities.
Nope.
It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security.
Right.
Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC. Member FINRA /SIPC.
For our first story, e-commerce has decided that when you want to return something, yeah, just keep it. Just keep it. We're looking at the hidden advantage of brick and mortars and the hidden costs of buying online. All right, so Jack and I got to give full credit here. Got to give the assist to the Wall Street Journal because they did the story. They did the deep dive into like you wanting to return stuff.
Yeah, they John Stockton this thing. But let's say this Christmas, your dad got you a New York Giants pullover that would have been great for you 10 years ago, but you're an adult now.
Not the right fit. You're basically running like a logistics operation out of your house to get this thing out of there. Returning stuff this holiday season felt a little different than typically.
To return that New York Giants pullover, you're going to have to mask up. You're going to be nervous about COVID. You're going to sanitize your hands 12 times in the store.
Yeah, brutal. Oh, and by the way, there's like probably no store to go to because you shipped 70% more packages to yourself in 2020 than you did in 2019.
Yeah, that pullover was ordered online. And millions of Americans are trying to return things bought online for the holidays right now. And retailers are saying, just keep it. We don't even want it back.
Just keep it. So here's the wild trend. Amazon, Walmart, Target, Chewy, for certain items, they just don't want you to send the stuff back.
You're going to get your refund. You'll get the $30 back for that hoodie.
Must be nice.
But you can just keep the hoodie. They don't even want it back.
Jack, feels like we should do an illustrative example onto this thing.
Yes.
Please.
So let's say you ordered some darn tough wool socks in size medium in December.
Yeah, maybe slim and salmon colored, but you really want to keep your feet warm. But you know what? Let's say you also put on the COVID-19 over the holidays.
Yeah, because your dessert had its own appetizer.
Yeah, so you asked to exchange the size medium socks for the size large socks because now your big toe is actually a huge toe.
Then Target, where you bought the darn tough socks, they're like, you know what? We know you're not happy with the mediums, but you just keep the mediums. We're going to send you a size large to replace them. You keep the mediums. Have them both.
And the reason Target is doing this is because returns are actually really expensive for Target.
For you to send in those medium socks you don't want anymore, that's going to cost Target $10 to $20 in processing alone back in the warehouse.
We're talking on like an $8 sock. And here's the funny thing. This is a growing trend. But don't expect to like just keep everything you're ordering online.
Only for certain items is this a growing trend. For example, inexpensive items.
Yeah, take for example those socks. That return costs more than the socks were even worth, so they're going to make you keep them.
It's also happening for heavy items like furniture, like a floor lamp that you bought. The freight to get that floor lamp back to the manufacturer.
Oh my God, Jack.
That's expensive. It's just not economical to send it back.
Two floor lamps, you need like a team of oxen to get that thing back.
Now, Snackers, some of you might be thinking, I think I can scheme the system. I'm going to buy an iPhone 12 and then tell Apple I want a refund. And they'll be like, here, just keep the iPhone 12. Here's your iPhone 12 Max that you wanted instead.
Classic case of Apple's not UNICEF. They're not going to let you do that. You're going to have to send back both.
So Jack, they're on to you. They're on to you.
What's the takeaway for our buddies over in like all of e-commerce?
Don't overlook the big secret about e-commerce, the hidden costs of returns.
All right, so here's the great thing about brick and mortar, Snackers. People don't ask for returning or refunding things nearly as much if you're that store.
You're in the store. You get to try it on. You get to touch it, feel it. You probably have a buddy there who tells you you look great in it. By the time you buy something in brick and mortars, you are committed.
That was emotional. Snackers, brick and mortar is getting married after 10 dates. E-commerce, it's like eloping after one.
Speaking of getting married, I remember when I got my my tux for my wedding. Nick, you were there.
It looked great.
It was brick and mortars. The experience was fantastic. There was no chance I was returning that thing.
I felt like I was validating it. No way you're bringing that thing back.
Now, online shopping, on the other hand, you toss some weighted blanket willy-nilly into the shopping cart because you know you can return it super easy with a prepaid mailing.
Well, Jack and I jumped in snack style. According to data from Shopify, online purchases are returned at least twice as much as regular purchases.
According to another top quality data company, it's actually four times as much that things are returned when you buy something online versus in-store.
Meanwhile, like every store you know, they are rushing to just add online shopping, online shopping, online shopping.
We hope they're bracing themselves for big increases in return costs because you got to add up to $20 per returned item.
For some businesses, that just doesn't make sense. For our second story, Cardtronics, the largest ATM network on planet Earth, could be sold for $1.7 billion.
But this ATM company's greatest enemy is also its greatest friend.
Oh, Jack, I'm going to set the scene here. All right, I'm going back, East Village, our apartment, 2nd Avenue, 14th Street, great bodega around the corner. You walk in, you want three bananas and an RX bar. But they got the $5 minimum. What are you going to do?
There were 20 bodegas just like that within a three-block radius. Oh, don't worry. We have an ATM right here.
Yeah, right there. Go to your left. Oh, wait. $4.50 fee to do that transaction, Jack.
And then you sit there for about 6 seconds looking at the screen that says $4.50. Do you accept?
And where's that accept button? I don't know. Oh, wait. That's more than the price of 50 bananas.
And then you finally accept and you get angry.
And that's when Cardtronics comes in. Sounds like a transformer. Actually, the company behind 300,000 ATMs globally.
They didn't invent the automated teller machine.
No, they didn't.
They just made it famous.
It's kind of like an Usher and Justin Bieber situation they got going here.
Usher invented those beats. Bieber made it famous worldwide.
Jack, you're picking up what I'm putting out.
Now, context for those 300,000 ATMs, there are 38,000 McDonald's in the world. So there are eight times as many Cardtronics ATMs.
But here's the thing. Cardtronics only owns 25% of those ATMs. The rest of them are owned by like a bunch of banks who pay Cardtronics to like use those ATMs.
But those 25% of owned and operated Cardtronics ATMs, they drive 87% of this company's revenue.
For the rest of them, Cardtronics calls their business ATM as a service, or Jack and I like to call it a theocracy.
No, anyone who's paid that $4.50 after 6 seconds of rage knows that this is a feetatorship.
It's a feetatorship. It's absolutely horrible. But here's the funny situation facing Cardtronics. Jack, have you touched any cash lately?
Yesterday, I had to pay $5 for a parking fee in a garage. First time I've touched cash in like 6 months.
Not a thing. I mean, that's because a $5 Lincoln, it's basically a super spreader product right now.
Yes, COVID has hurt cash transactions. But even without COVID, more transactions have been moving onto a smartphone and to a credit card for years now.
This has been an accelerated trend. Bad for ATMs, good for PayPal stock that has doubled in the last year, and Square stock, which has tripled in the last year.
And good for Bitcoin Ben, who's
great guy.
Being Bitcoin Ben.
Ben being Ben. You Venmo Victor for half your order of spring rolls. You're going to Cash App Katrina to split the Netflix bill.
So unsurprisingly, Cardtronics stock has fallen 9% in the past 12 months. And the revenues last year, it's down 27% from the peak in 2017.
Because of fintech, paper cash has been demoted from king.
But you'd be surprised to see Cardtronics' stock has doubled since November on news that it's going to be acquired by a rival called NCR.
All right, so although Cardtronics is shrinking overall because you're using fewer ATMs, they still managed to make like a pretty healthy profit.
Something a lot of tech companies wish they could say themselves.
And apparently it's not shrinking as fast as you'd think. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies ATMing over at Cardtronics?
Cardtronics' greatest threat is actually its greatest friend.
So true.
For now.
Snackers, the number one source of new sales growth over at the ATM company Cardtronics is partnerships with fintech companies that are killing ATMs.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Jack, Chime, Credit Karma, MoCoffee, all of those are digital banking apps that all just sign deals with Cardtronics.
They're called neobanks because they're purely digital. They have no physical locations, but they know that even a super tech-savvy customer needs cash and needs to cash checks every once in a while.
Yeah, so get this wild stat. Withdrawals from Cardtronics ATMs by customers who have a digital-only bank, those withdrawals tripled in just the past year.
These fintech startups are paying Cardtronics for the right for their customers to use their ATMs.
And yet, just as fintech startups destroy the need for Cardtronics, they're also simultaneously feeding Cardtronics ATM business.
But we think Cardtronics shouldn't get too comfortable because long-term, these neobanks, they might build their own ATMs.
Or they're just keeping Cardtronics as a nice little bridge solution until cash truly dies. Sounds like a frenemy. For our third and final story, Quibi passed away in November after 8 months. It just got reincarnated as Roku. That's what just happened.
I guess Roku was in the will, and they got all of Quibi's shows
must be nice.
For under $100 million.
Now, Quibi basically just did its best Nick Cage impression. What would you say, Jack?
It raised $2 billion. Uh-huh. It launched. It shut down.
Yep.
It's gone in 60 seconds.
Yeah, you know the whole like short-form quality shows for commuting thing? didn't really work in a pandemic when nobody's commuting. You're not going to watch Quibi on the 4 train when you're not on the 4 train.
Now, Quibi is trying to salvage money for their investors. So they're selling off parts of Quibi, like scraps, like your uncle's 1996 Saab 900.
Brutal, Jack. And they just sold the very most valuable part.
Content is king, Snackers. And Roku just acquired the content kingdom of Quibi for less than $100 million.
So we're talking, I mean, Jack, look at this. Look at these numbers here. 75 Quibi shows, now part of the smallest player in the streaming wars, Roku.
This would make up quite a DVD collection if DVDs still existed. Chrissy Teigen, Kevin Hart, Nicole Richie, they all had their own shows on Quibi.
Jack, remember the J-Lo show? She gives away $1 million and then that person has to give away $500,000 and it goes on and on and on.
And then that person has to give away $500,000.
The Russian. Oh, there's also the Murder House Flip show, which was like a home improvement show and a murder mystery show. Sounds like a podcast.
But now that Quibi's not in the content streaming wars anymore, they're like your buddy who studied really hard for a test, made an epic cheat sheet to prepare for that test.
Timmy.
But then he got expelled. So he's like, here, take my cheat sheet.
Yeah, he did.
Give me $5. I'll be good.
Yeah, what are you going to do with it? I'm not doing anything. I don't even go to school here anymore. But the funny thing about all this content, Snackers, is that because content is king, content is really expensive.
Quibi spent a lot of money to develop those 75 shows. In fact, they spent $100,000 per minute of show on average for about $1 billion total.
Netflix, by the way, just sprinkle a little context on this thing. Netflix splurges $17 billion on its own content every year.
Let's go a little more micro. Game of Thrones spent $100 million on just the final 8th season.
Just the 8th season. And that was only 6 shows.
So shows are expensive, but Roku is putting on his Maxinista sunglasses.
Please.
Storming into the aisle and found $1 billion worth of MSRP shows for 90% off.
Not too shabby. Same price as the worst Game of Thrones season that was also the last Game of Thrones season.
And all 75 former Quibi shows are now coming to the Roku channel, a free streaming channel that works on all Roku smart TV devices.
But Jack, you know the guac is always extra.
I do. That's why Roku is going to put ads up, inside, around, and all about these shows to make some ad revenue.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Roku?
In the streaming wars, Roku now owns the train station and the train.
And the train, Snackers, $1 billion of Quibi content. It's kind of like, think of this as a first-class cabin on a lovely long-distance train ride.
Now that Roku has original content, Roku Channel is right up there with Netflix, HBO Max, and Disney Plus.
But all that content on that content train, that isn't what separates Roku in the streaming wars.
It's the train station. Roku
yes.
also owns the platform that these streaming videos stream on.
Get this, Snackers. 43% of streaming TVs in the United States, they're using some form of Roku technology.
You might own an Apple TV. You might own an Amazon Fire Stick. More people own Roku products.
Owning this platform, that's what's given Roku a whopping 50 million users and a $50 billion valuation.
The smallest player in the streaming wars just added a brand new bicep.
The train and the train station. Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us over there?
Sure can. Snackers, if you try to return a holiday gift,
dare
ya. They might tell you, just keep it.
Yeah, because e-commerce has some major hidden return costs.
For our second story, Cardtronics is clinging to its 300,000 ATMs, which are slowly but surely over the years becoming obsolete.
And until they become obsolete, it's going to milk, you know, fintech companies with ATMs as a service fiocracies.
For our third and final story, Roku just snagged itself 75 shows for a rock bottom price.
Savvy moves by the smallest streaming company that could. Now, time for our snack fact of the day. This one sent in by Mike Donahue and the entire Subtext team located on lovely 22nd Street and 7th Avenue.
Cafeteria? I think that's on 22nd Street and 7th Avenue.
I think it's Kitty Corner. I think you're absolutely right, Jack. Chelsea, lovely.
What's the dive bar that's named after like an airplane? That's also there, I think.
Trick question. It's called Dive Bar.
According to Mike, the longest word that you can type with just your left hand on a keyboard,
Stewardesses. If you can find something longer, please type it out and send it to us and we'll test it with our left hand only.
Also, Jack, we just set ourselves up for the perfect follow-up snack fact. What's the longest word you can type with just your right hand?
I'm looking at the keyboard here and I see that hung is typable.
Jack, I just beat you with plump.
Snackers, we loved being here with you today. If you got buddies who haven't snacked yet, please text them HYHYSD.
Ask them, have you had your snacks daily?
Nick and I'll see you tomorrow.
Can't wait. If you know, you know. And before we go, snackers, we just want to say thanks to Coda Brown and all the members of the 129th Air Force Rescue Squadron who are about to be deployed overseas very soon.
Thank you for your service abroad so that we can snack safely.
And thanks to the whole squadron for snacking. Also, happy birthday to Nikki Bonner, just got the new job over in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
And congrats, Greg Pink, who just passed his CSM certification.
And happy birthday, Sarah Marcello over in Leesburg, Virginia.
And this one was shouted out by two Olds sisters who want to let Maddie know happy birthday from San Diego, California.
Meanwhile, happy birthday to Francis Wright in Walnut Creek, California.
And Wiley, happy birthday down in Charlotte, North Carolina. This is Jack. I own stock of Amazon. Nick owns stock of Shopify, Apple, and Square.
The Robin Hood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts who are associated persons of Robin Hood Financial LLC and does not reflect the views of Robin Hood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
Nick and Jack here. I want to quickly tell you about the show Business Wars.
With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman.
From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world.
Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more, Wondery means business.